The days are surely coming, says the Holy One, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David's line, a ruler who shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: God is our justice. A reading from Jeremiah. Let us pray. In this dark time of year, God, we long for your coming. When darkness falls upon the world, we long for your peace. For healing, we wait. For justice, we hope. Strengthen our hearts, that we may be steadfast in faith, constant in love, and radiant with hope, even when times are dark. In the name of Christ, who is coming, and who is always with us, we pray. Amen.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. Jesus said, "The time will come when there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused at the roaring of the sea and the waves, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And they will see the new human coming in a cloud with glory and great power. When these things begin to happen, stand up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." And then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree or any trees. When you first see them put forth their leaves, you can see for yourself, you know, summer is already near. In the same way, when you see these things take place, you know the realm of God is near. I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, be on your guard. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. Don't let that moment come upon you, catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon everyone who lives on the whole earth. Be alert. Pray for the strength to be present through all that is coming, and to stand before the chosen one. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. This time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, darkness falls so early, and it seems sometimes to fall so hard. I think the darkness falls so hard partly because this winter gloom calls to mind the way in the human sphere darkness can fall pretty hard. When Jesus says these strange words about darkness and clouds and signs in the heaven and the roaring of the seas and the distress of nations, it seems like 2,000 years ago he could already see climate change coming. He was already anticipating the storms that will bring us, and all the political and social storms, the way we treat immigrants, the injustice and corruption in high places, and the distress of nations. Sometimes I really worry about our grandchildren. I think about the world we're leaving them. Climate change, choking with plastic in the oceans, drying up all our water tables and cutting down all our trees. They're going to have a hard time. They're going to have a hard time. And those words of Jesus about darkness seem way too realistic. They're disappointing for us to hear. They're kind of jarring for us to hear because we want to be preparing for Christmas. And it always feels wrong. Every year, the first Sunday in Advent, we get Jesus talking about doom and gloom. But he's not trying to scare us. He's just trying to meet us where we're at. He's trying to say to us, I get your anxiety. I know why you worry. Because you're not just worried about little things. You're worried about some pretty big things. In fact, Jesus wants us to worry about pretty big things. He says, don't get all caught up in the dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. We live such dissipated lives, spread out, cluttered, deluded, occupied by a thousand stupid little details. Drunkenness isn't just alcohol, it's all those things that we're attached to, all of those addictions we have, all those things that we can't think we'll be happy without. All the worries of this life are really so small and stupid. You know, you're caught in traffic on 495, and the deepest hope you have is that that truck ahead of you would go faster. We're caught up in all these stupid little worries that we don't notice until we experience a big, serious worry. You have a life-threatening illness, or you lose a loved one. Your health changes. Your life shifts. Your future becomes uncertain. And all of a sudden you realize that all those little worries that you had were dumb, stupid little things. In the midst of this whole world, all that we are capable of hoping and dreaming, sometimes our greatest dream, is to be able to go 65 on the interstate. And Jesus says, don't get stuck there. Think big. Worry about something bigger. And then, don't worry. Jesus isn't asking us to not worry about the little things. In fact, a lot of those little things probably won't work out. It might take you 2 hours to get into Boston. Oh, well. Your spouse might die of that cancer. That stuff happens. Jesus invites us to continue to expand what we're worrying about and then to not worry. To not worry on a cosmic level. Because, he says, God is doing something. And when we get all tied up in these little tiny worries, we don't notice what God is about. So Advent is a time that invites us to deepen our longing. It's hard to do because we've got these Christmas lists and we're doing our best to check them off until we arrive at the point where we're satisfied. And Jesus says, enlarge your dissatisfaction. A shopping list isn't good enough. Be obsessed instead with the redemption of creation, the mending of the world. Go ahead and dare really sincerely to pray for world peace. That's where God is working. And when we shift our vision from the stupid little worries we have to these big, profound, cosmic movements of God, when we shift what we're looking for, we shift what we see. And then we start to see signs that God is indeed working in this world with grace. That's what God, what Jesus wants us to see. Not necessarily that everything's going to turn out all right. I think there are some things that are not going to turn out all right. I don't know which, but not everything is going to turn out all right. But the promise is that no matter how it turns out, God will be with us with grace. That is what we're looking for. Think about people who are sick and don't want to die. And sometimes I have to talk with people who are in that situation and say, what's the worst thing that could happen? You die. And then what? You get to go be with God. It's not so bad. Isn't that what you wanted all your life? To be with God? You can't lose. If you're thinking big like that. Now, it's true, you might lose if you're not sure if you're going to make it to your kid's graduation. But there are even bigger things. Jesus invites us to expand our vision, to deepen our longing, to long for nothing short of the coming of God's grace, the unfolding of the realm of God, the healing of the universe. And the more we're looking for that, the more we see it. And it changes how we live. There was these two refugees from somewhere in the Middle East, probably either Syria or Yemen, somewhere where there's a lot of conflict and civil war and terrible stuff going on. And they had one of these awful stories about escaping the bombing of their village with buildings crashing around them, and they somehow made it out alive. And they became aware that there was a militia that was out for them to kill them, so they had to leave. And they fled on foot, and their journey went over miles and through many countries, and walking and sneaking around in the middle of the night and driving in the back of pickups and depending on strangers and being lost and homeless and in danger and abused, until after a long, arduous journey, they ended up settling, probably for now safely, I think in Europe somewhere. And somebody interviewed them about their journey and asked them, what kept you going? Was it just the terror that lay behind you? And they said, no, we were always looking ahead. And the interviewer said, well, what was it in your head that helped you do that and not just give up? And one of them said, well, you can't really think about the future. You have to just stay in the present moment. Just put one foot in front of the other and don't quit. And the other one said, huh. One step was never enough for me. And the interviewer said, well, what worked for you? What was it in your head that kept you going? And he said, heaven. The interviewer said, oh, the confidence that even if you die, you would still go to heaven and everything would be all right. And this guy said, no, for me, heaven is freedom. And the strange thing was that with every step I took, I had this deep sense that heaven was also on the road, coming to meet me. I didn't want to miss that. That's Advent. Heaven is coming to meet us. Heaven is not at the end of our struggles and our journeys. Heaven is coming this way. And we don't want to miss it. So Jesus says, be alert. Be on your guard. Don't get sucked into all those petty little worries. Focus on this. Heaven is coming. God is coming. You don't want to miss it. Then even the darkness is tolerable. Even the long journey is a good one. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you are with us and yet still coming in ways we haven't seen. Hold our hearts open in this season of lights shining in darkness. Deepen our longing and give us hope. Trust in what is not seen. We long for your coming. God of grace, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what is yet to come. And so we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.